think about how to have a happy Thanksgiving. Many people think that it's the turkey, it's the gravy, it's the potatoes, it's all the rest of the fixings. Folks, I can tell you, people that have multiple turkeys and multiple potatoes and multiple squash, and they're as miserable as you can possibly be. Folks, it's a relationship, and so we're going to talk about that today. So we're going to read Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. So if you stand, this is where we get the idea of rejoicing in the Lord. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Father, as we come into your presence today, Lord, I pray that every heart here is full of thanksgiving for your goodness. Father, bless us today and fill us with your Spirit, who's always glorifying Jesus Christ. Fill us with Jesus Christ, who's always glorifying the Father. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read from the 100th Psalm today, and I'm also going to read from the book of Romans chapter 1 in the hope that you'll understand that this Thanksgiving season, every single person in this room should be more than thankful for what God is doing in you and through you, not only for this life, but also for the life to come. Our hope in eternal life is so wonderful. I'm going to a place, and I hope you are too, where you're never going to be sick again. You're never going to have a tear again. You're never going to see death or sorrow or pain ever again. And so we've got a lot to look forward to. But a wise man once said, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, the man's as good as dead. I want to say that again because this is so important for you to grasp this. When a thankful heart dies on the altar of a man's heart, he's just about dead. We have to have a thankful heart in order to have any joy in our lives at all. It's an indictment against the human race that we are not more thankful. It says in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Folks, this is so important to understand. The Bible says that when man knew God, he did not glorify him as God. And every time a person expresses sin and rebellion towards God, it's because they're deliberately suppressing the truth and not thankful for what God has done. I don't know if you understand this or not, but man is not basically thankful. It's not a part of our nature at birth. When we're born with a sin nature. We're born with rebellion in our hearts. I never had to teach my children how to sin. I never had to teach them how to swear. I never had to teach them how to steal. That was all natural. When we talk about natural things, we don't have to talk about a duck. I'll just take a duck as an example. If I had a little duckling here, just newly born, and I took him over to my pond and I put him in, what would that little duck do? He'd swim, because he's naturally, that's part of his nature. Ducks are born to swim. If I were to have taken one of my little sons or daughters when they were newly born and put them in that same pond, what would happen? They would have died. They would have drowned in the pond. Why? It's not because I can't teach my children how to swim. It's because swimming is not a natural gift that God gave to mankind. Gave it to the ducks, but not to mankind. The same thing is true with thankfulness. My children had to be taught how to say thank you, because it's not natural. I can't think of the name of the show now. It was a little fish show, an animated show that was on 15 years ago. I don't know. Anyhow, there were a bunch of seagulls, and somebody was throwing some bread out, and what did the seagulls say? Mine, 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 mine. That's the way children come out. Everything is theirs. I mentioned before, as a little boy, I can remember thinking, all of life is about me. It's all about Jerry Larkin. And as I began to mature, I realized that was not true at all, but I sure thought it was as a baby. Why? Because I was born with a sinful nature. Children have to be taught to say thank you. If you have a little girl, and that little girl is born, and you do something nice for them as they get old enough where they learn speech, they'll learn the swear words on their own, but the word thank you, you really have to work at that. Now, Sally, Judy, Harry, Tom, whatever, after somebody's done something nice to you, what do you say? And they go, and you say, no, if you don't say it, I'm going to take it away. What do you say? Thanks. Folks, that's hard to get out. Because we think it is all about us at birth. We think naturally that it's all about me. I heard of a little boy one time, and a lady gave him a piece of pie. And he said, thank you. And a woman said, man, I just love it when little boys and girls say thank you. And he said, ma'am, if you put a scoop of ice cream on that, I'll say thanks again. Gratitude is not a part of our nature. We have to learn it. We have to teach it. From generation to generation, it goes on. Man instinctively sins against God because it's their nature. Nobody had to teach me how to swear either. I picked it up quick. When I went to kindergarten, I mentioned, I think maybe before, when I went to kindergarten, I knew every swear word and I knew what it meant, and I was like a hero to the other kids because they hadn't heard it. My dad swore every other word, and I picked it up quick, man. I would have never told my dad where I learned to swear was you, Dad. I would have been dead meat. But the Bible, talking about the Gospels, 10 lepers, they heard about Jesus' healing, and 10 of them got together, and they came as a group to Jesus, and they pleaded with him to heal them of their leprosy, because there was no healing for leprosy at that time. In fact, there's no healing for leprosy today. But the lepers came, and Jesus said, I'm willing, be healed. And they looked at their flesh and what had been scars and scrapes, and it was all healed. Their whole body was white. Their flesh was like a baby's flesh. The Bible says that they all walked away, but one, as he was walking away, turned around and came back to Jesus and gave thanks. And it was a Samaritan man that did it. The 9 other, we take it for granted, were probably Jewish people because he was in a Jewish community at the time. And Jesus said, is there only one to give thanks to God? Where are the 9? Now, I want you to think about that just for a minute as you think about the fact of all around us are people that are saved today. They've been saved from their sin. And yet, instead of coming together in a church someplace, I'm not talking about just this church. I'm talking about a church any place in our whole state. Instead of attending any place, they're home doing what? Living their life, doing their thing. We should be together giving thanks to our God, and yet so many Christians And I'm going to say they are Christians. I witnessed, when we had the calling program going here, we went up and down these roads all around this church, and I talked to a lot of Christians, and they would say, well, I know I should be in a church someplace, but it's just so hard to get up in the morning. Well, we do have a 6 o'clock Sunday night service. You could be there. Well, yeah, I know I could, but, and there's 44,000 excuses why not, but I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to be a thankful, thankful, thankful people. He wants us not only to give thanks, but also to serve others so that they can learn to give thanks to the Lord. Out of all the people Jesus saved, and you stop and think how many people you know that are saved that attend a church no place. They can't take 1 hour out of a week to get together to praise and to thank and to worship the Lord. And folks, that's a shame. When a Christian stops being thankful, they're on their way to backsliding. They're on their way to becoming less and less and less like Jesus Christ. We need to learn how to be a thankful people. So the first step in that is to realize where all of our blessings come from. Sadly today, and I'll mention this, I've mentioned it 100 times, I hate to beat a dead horse, but it's so important to me. In our schools today, our children are being taught they were not created. They evolved. If you believe in evolution, who do you give thanks to? Folks, your life is an accident. That's all it is if you believe in evolution. There's nothing after this. When you take an animal and you put it in the ground after you've maybe eaten the meat, depending on what the animal is, what happens to that animal? It ceases to exist. But what happens to a man or a woman or a boy or a girl when you put them in the ground? According to the Bible, they do not cease to exist. And we're teaching our children absolute lies in school today. We need to be praying for our schools. This is so important. If you want to be happy at Thanksgiving, and I really pray with all my heart, this will be the happiest Thanksgiving you've ever had, and it's going to be if you'll learn how to be thankful. But it won't be if you don't. Oh, the potatoes weren't quite right. Who cares? It's all about thanking the Lord for what he's done. Don't get caught up in the stuff. So to have a happy Thanksgiving, you have to have somebody to give thanks to. And it talks about this in James chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows." Where does your house come from? And I know you can say, well, I worked hard. I built that house. Where did the strength you have to build that house come from? Well, I was born into a family and they raised me to be in good shape. Well, where did your family come from? And I don't care how far back you have to go. Eventually, you're going to come to the conclusion that God gave you that. And when you come to that conclusion, you have somebody to give thanks to in any and every situation. And we're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But our Lord wants us to be thankful, thankful people. In Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Folks, we need to be those people that are constantly thanking God for all of his benefits. There's two different groups of people that do not give thanks to God for their blessing. The first are saved people of God. Many times they forget that every benefit we have is a gift from our Heavenly Father. Even Christians can slip on this. Remember the story of the little boy that built a boat? He built a little sailing boat, And he really spent some time on it. It was just a beautiful little boat. He'd take it out every day. They lived on a lake that had a stream going out of it. And he'd take it every day, sail his little boat around the lake, and bring it back to the shore. He was so happy with that little boat. But one night, he went to bed, and he forgot to put his little boat away. Well, a huge wind came up, blew that little boat into the lake, and the boat flowed through the lake, over to the stream, and down the stream to the village. And a storekeeper was out one the next morning, and he was looking around, and there's that little boat in the stream. And so he went over, and he picked it up. He said, "Whoa, this is a nice little boat." He says, "I'm going to put it in my window, and some boy or girl will pay me if you have this boat." So he put it in the window, and about a week later, the little boy went into town to look at some school clothes, and there, sure enough, in the window of the store was his little boat. He was so excited, he ran in and he said to the store owner, "Sir, that's my boat." And the guy says, "No, son, you're wrong." He said, "I found that boat in the river. This is my boat. And if you want it, if you look at the sign, it says $1 for that boat." That was back when a dollar was really a dollar. And the little boy said, "Sir, I don't have any money." He said, "Well, son, if you want the boat, you better earn some money." So the little boy went home, and he worked, and he worked, and he worked, and he saved his coins, and eventually he got a dollar. He ran down to the store, and his boat was still there. He paid the dollar to the man, and he walked out with that little boat. And he said, "Boat, you're mine twice now." He said, "I made you, and you're mine. And now I bought you back, and so you're twice mine." Do you understand that's what God did for you? He's your creator. And you say, "Well, no, I know he created Adam and Eve, but he's not my creator." Do you know what the Bible says about you when you were in your mother's womb? The Bible says God formed you in your mother's womb exactly as he wanted you to be. Your God is your creator. He loves you. And believe it or not, he loves everything about you. He created you, and then he paid the price so you could be with him forever. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 5. It says, "He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We're all like sheep. We've gone astray. Each one has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearers is silent. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand." Folks, we need to get to the point where we say the greatest ingratitude you could possibly show to God is not to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God made you, and he loved you so much. We know you're not perfect, neither are any of the rest of us. But God loved us so much, he gave his only begotten Son, and all he asked you to do is believe. But so many people refuse to be thankful. "I don't need a Savior. I'm a good person." Folks, remember the story about the Pharisee and the publican that went into the temple? The publican stood over in a corner. He's a tax collector. He looked down upon by everybody. He stood over in that corner and he beat his chest. He wouldn't look up to heaven. And he said, "Lord, forgive me, a sinner." The Pharisee is over the other side and he says, "Lord, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I'm not like that publican. I fast all the time. I give a tithe of everything I have." And the Lord said the publican went home forgiven And the Pharisee was still in his sin. Folks, you have to come to the point of being thankful for this thing that God has done. We need to be thankful to the one who has done it all. You can have a happy Thanksgiving first by recognizing what God has done for you. And you may say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I've got a sickness today. I just lost my job last week. Things are terrible at home. We're fighting all the time. Things are wrong, wrong, wrong. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 gives a remedy for all that's wrong. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Oops, I see. Wait, I skipped a verse. I'm sorry. Anyhow, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, Nancy mentioned in Sunday school today that her son, Eddie, went to emergency last week and fainted. And we say, what a terrible thing. He went to emergency because things were going on in the family that weren't good. There was some real trouble. If Eddie hadn't been in the ER when he fainted, I don't know if you heard the story, but he had a bariatric surgery and he was bleeding profusely around that incision. If he hadn't been in the ER, he might not have made it. Alex, this week, was driving on the expressway Thursday afternoon or Thursday night, went into a spin, couldn't hit the median, messed up her car, couldn't get it off the highway, and along comes a man who helps her. And the traffic for we don't know how long was delayed. There was no traffic coming. The man was able to push it off to the side. Now, we don't praise the Lord for an accident, or should we? We don't praise the Lord for somebody in our family having to go emergency, or should we? If it hadn't been, they might not have made it. Folks, we need to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us. We keep thinking, I'll give thanks for the good things, but there's no way I'm thanking the Lord for a washing machine that broke down, or a flat tire on the highway, or a lost job. Folks, God tells us in his word, if you'll keep your hands open, when the Lord takes something out, he's going to put something else back in. But you have to have that thankful heart, that trusting heart. A preacher one time, well-loved by the people of his church, and one of the people in the church said to his friend, I want you to come to church tonight, because my pastor finds a way to give thanks every single week. And the guy said, well, I'll go with you. I want to hear this guy that's always thankful. So they started out for the church, and it was a terrible rainy night. It was just terrible weather. And the friend said, you know, when we get to church, there's not going to be anybody there. I don't even think the pastor's going to come. The weather's so bad. But when they got there, the pastor was there, and there was one or two other cars there. So they got out of the car and went in the church. And the guy says, pokes his buddy, we'll see if he's thankful. He's prepared a message and there's so few people here. He said, no way he's going to give thanks. And so the pastor got up and he said, I want to tell you tonight, I'm a thankful man. And the crowd went, what for? He said, well, I'm thankful that the weather isn't always like this. Folks, you can always find something to be thankful for. When you have those bad days, every day isn't bad. Those bad days are a reminder of the good days. In Romans 8:28, if you can memorize this, do it. If you can't memorize it, keep going over it till it really settles into your mind. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Verse 29 tells you what that purpose is. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Our problem is, Christ's likeness is not our primary goal. That is God's primary goal for every single one of us. When we get our eyes off what's most important to our Heavenly Father, we put our eyes what's important to us in this life, and when anything goes wrong in this situation, we can't give thanks because our heart is here in this life. The Lord tells us in his word not to put our heart on things on the earth, to keep our minds of things above. When we do that, we'll still be able to function just fine on this earth, and we'll be able to be thankful in any and every situation because we know God's working it to make us more like his son. Stories told about a pastor, this happened years ago. He was out in the evening walking one night and he got robbed at gunpoint. And the people thought, oh, pastor's really going to be upset when he comes in Sunday morning. But the pastor came in Sunday morning, he said, I'm thankful for several things that happened this week. He said, I'm grateful because I have never been robbed before. You know, some people get robbed all the time. If you only get robbed once or twice, I've only had my barn broke into one time all the time I've lived out in St. Charles. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? Second, I'm grateful because they robbed me, but they didn't kill me. They could have. Third, I'm grateful because although they took everything I had, it wasn't much. At last of all, I'm grateful that I was robbed instead of me doing the robbing. Folks, there's always a way you can give thanks. You have to look for it. The word, the old Anglo-Saxon word, thinking. What that word really comes from is thankfulness, and that's where we get our word thankfulness. It's because we think properly. We think God's thoughts after him, and God is always doing good. We need to be thankful today that we're children of God. If you're here today and you're born again, you better believe you got something to be thankful for. You are on your way to heaven. It's something to be greatly thankful for. We need to be thankful for our faith. We need to be thankful I don't have to go to sleep at night and worry about going to hell. You know, there's a lot of people when they go to sleep at night, they think about life after death, and it's not a pleasant thought. When I think about life after death, I think, praise God, my body's getting a little older now, and I'm getting a little stiff. All that's going to be gone, and it's going to be gone forever. I'm never going to be stiff again. I don't know if you exercise at all, but sometimes when I get done exercising, I really feel good. I can feel every muscle almost. It just feels great. But I don't feel great most of the time anymore. I'm going to a place where I'm going to feel great forever, and I hope you're thankful for that. I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ washed away all my sin, even the sin I still do. It's all washed away for eternity. All I need to do is come to him and confess my sin now for daily cleansing so that I can have fellowship. But when I get to heaven, there's going to be zero sins on my record. And I hope that's true for you. If you've trusted Christ, it absolutely is. I'm thankful for a church like ours that loves people, that reaches out, that shares the gospel, that tries to help financially and with the shoebox program and all the other things we do. I'm thankful we got a church like that where we can come and share our faith, rejoice in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for my wife. Now, if you're a gal, I hope you're thankful for your husband. But she's been with me through thick and thin, and sometimes it gets pretty thin, and sometimes it gets pretty thick, but I'm thankful for my health. I hope you are too. And even if your health is a little bad right now, or maybe even real bad, I hope you're thankful that you're still here and still able to do things and go places. I go into the hospitals, and I go into the nursing homes and assisted living homes, and there are people way, way younger than we are that are never going to walk again. If you can walk, you can talk, you can get around, you can think halfway normal, you have a lot to be thankful for. The old saying is, you never know what you should give thanks for until you don't have it anymore. Folks, I would encourage you sometime, go to the rescue mission. Look at the people there. See what you have to be thankful for. Most of the people that go to the rescue mission have no home. They have no family that will associate with them at all anymore. They have no finances. They have no job. And some of them are 50, 60, 70 years old, and they have not been able to hold a job, to maintain a family, because they don't walk with Christ. And if you have all those things, you've got a lot to be thankful for. If you got 2 feet that you can walk with, you've got a lot to be thankful for. Joel went to school with a little boy. Toby was his dad. Can't think of the little boy's name now. What was it? Yeah, the Garno boy. I can't think of his first name. But anyhow, he had MS, and he never got to run and play with the other kids. If you can do those things, you better be thankful for. I'm thankful for family. We had 4 children. All of our children placed their faith in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that most of my grandchildren now have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And we're praying for our great-grandchildren. Only got a couple, but we're praying. Why? Because they're going to have to receive Christ as well. I thank the Lord for material blessings. I don't have a mansion. I don't want a mansion. I don't have a new car. I don't want a new car. But I've got all that I need and more. And most of you here have the same thing. You have more than you need. One of the fellows that attends our revival prayer meeting on Tuesday mornings is a missionary, and he goes over to Haiti. And those people don't have a house. They don't have a car. They don't have a job. They're scraping by barely. We've got so much to be thankful for. And the last thing I want to give praise for is that we have the God of the second and the third and the fifth chance. If you're here today, let me just close with this. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet, you need to thank God that you've got another chance today. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." I can't tell you how many religious people I know that are just like Nicodemus was when he came to Jesus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. That was the most strict religion of all. He was one of the top 70 leaders of Israel. And he came to Jesus to ask him kind of an off-the-side question. And Jesus, before he could even ask his question, said, "Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of God." Folks, the Lord is not looking for you to get more religious. He's not looking for you to follow more rules. He's looking to you to receive his Son, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and your Savior. It really is this simple, and I want to make it, this is the last thing I'm going to say today. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I believe with all my heart that you are Lord God of heaven. I believe you shed your blood on that cross to pay for my sin. And today, Lord, I want to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Folks, if you do that, you've just received the greatest gift anybody has ever given. Stories told, I want to close with this. Stories told about a young man that was in the war. It was either Vietnam or Korea, I can't remember which. But he was getting out of the service and he had been in the war, and he called his folks on the phone to say he was coming home. He said, "I'll be home within about a week. But Mom, I want to talk to you just for a minute. I've got a friend that was with me throughout this war, and he lost an eye, and he lost an arm, and he lost a leg. And Mommy has no place to go. I want to bring him home with me. What do you think, Mom?" And Mom thought about it a minute, and she says, "Oh, son, it would be almost impossible for I and your dad to take care of a young man like that. Please don't bring him home." It was 3 days later, a body was found, and by the body was a note, and it was that young man. He had committed suicide because he knew it was too much for his mother and dad to take care of him. When the casket came back, the mother opened the casket, and there was her son, one eye missing, one arm missing, and one leg missing. She missed one of the greatest blessings of her life, taking care of her own son. But she didn't realize it. Folks, God knows all about your failures. He knows all about your destructive habits. But he loves you so much, he says, come on home. I will take care of you. I love you. I'm your creator. I made you for myself. Please accept the gift of salvation. Folks, he does love you, and he wants you in his family. Father, I pray for anybody here today that's never received Christ as Savior, that this might be the day. I pray for those of us that have received Christ as Savior, that, Lord, we'll refocus our desires. Our desire, our primary desire in life should be to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my will is to do the will of my Father in heaven. Father, if we would get to that point, it would be so easy to be thankful in any and every situation. But Lord, for many of us, we have not yet made that our primary goal. And it's hard to be thankful when you're working against what your Lord set here to be. Father, bless us and refocus us and make us truly thankful this Thanksgiving. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.